turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? I am doing wonderful. If you haven't had a chance today to meet somebody new, talk to somebody across the aisle, now's your chance. Please go and tell somebody this morning, you are a blessing. Well, it is wonderful to be here with you at Hope on the Beach Church. And we just want to say, whether you're passing through or whether you're here every week, welcome home. Because when you are in a place of worship, you are in God's home. He loves you. He accepts you as you are. So we also want to tell you this is a judgment-free space where you're free to be yourself. Just be comfortable in your own shoes, just the way that you came today. Even if you're not feeling okay, I would say you are in the right place for that, because God wants to love on you, and He wants to answer your prayers. I also want to tell you that feel free to worship in the way that is best for you. If you want to stay seated, that's fine. You want to rise with us as we worship, raise your hands to praise God, whatever suits you best. And if you are watching online, if you're on YouTube or you're on our website, we want to give you a special good morning as well and say thank you so much for showing up this morning and for worshiping with us. Go down to the comments and tell us who you are, where you're from, where you're watching. We love to hear from everybody. You click share on that message and you can help spread the gospel this morning. If you want to follow along with the worship folder, you can go to hopeonthebeach.com, and on the homepage, you're going to find that PDF. You can download it and fill out the notes as we go. So if you have inside of your worship folder this little yellow connection card, if you haven't already had a chance to take it out, we would just love to hear from you, because we believe you are a gift from God. We truly believe you're a blessing, and this is our way to honor you. So anything you feel comfortable sharing, your name, are you visiting, are you local? And if you have any special prayer requests or comments, you can write those on the bottom on the back side. So today we are continuing our sermon series on questions from Mark. And we have Pastor Ray Angerman this morning to bless us with the message. And he is asking the question, who let the dogs out? And I hate to break it to you, unfortunately, Roberto is not going to break out in some Baja Men for you this morning.
I will not.
So, you know, sorry. Or are you? No? Okay. You never know. You know, the day is young, as they say. So, but we are talking about the ministry of John the Baptist and how it marked the transition from going to a more like strict, adherent human religious practices to individual, personal, deep faith with Christ. Before we get started, let's rise as we raise our voices to the Lord.
So in Psalm says, let's raise a joyful noise to the Lord. And we pray that He hears our praises, because He's here. Blessed assurance, that Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire. time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. The perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He answered. And He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. You know, so this song, so back in 2022, November 17th, my mom went to heaven. I got the phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was in the hospital with my wife. It was her, she had emergency surgery. So I'm sleeping in those lousy beds they provide, very uncomfortable, and I got that phone call. And I was worship leading at a beach service. It was a sunset beach service. And I found out that Saturday, and then on Sunday, you know, pastor comes up to me, not Pastor Ray, but another pastor, and says, "Hey, do you want to take Sunday off? I know you just went through something." And I got to tell you that at that moment, it occurred to me that if I took that off, I was showing that I don't truly believe what I believe, because I worship Him in the valleys, in the mountaintops, throughout the day, throughout my life. Anyhow, that first Sunday I led this song, and I could barely make it through the service. I cried like a child, but God provided two wonderful women that were standing by my side, and they sang So they carried me through. God was there the whole time. So the second Sunday comes around, and I decided, you know, this is the moment that God, I feel, is asking me to share this story. Turns out, yeah. But we were doing this song. And again, I start mourning my mom's loss. Anyhow, I'm trying not to break up. And in that very moment that I am just crying, God gave me joy. He gave me a joy that I have never in my life had. 25 years in ministry, and He upped the game and gave me more joy than I had ever felt in my life. And even in that morning, whew, He came through. So in your life, can you remember when you sought Him earnestly? We tend to do that when we struggle, but if you sought Him earnestly, and you know He answers. He answers the way we don't expect it. In my joy, in my mourning, I get joy. I love God, and He loves us. So, Matt, put that bridge back up there. And this is our way of proclaiming what God has done for us when we've earnestly sought Him. So join me in this. Ooh, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, yeah, heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Just the voices. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Will never fail.
Would you please be seated? We got a real treat for you this morning. Come on up. In holy baptism, good morning. What a beautiful family that you have. We begin this section of our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord commanded baptism, saying to His disciples in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." The holy apostles of the Lord have written these words: "The promise of baptism is for you and your children, and baptism now saves you." We also learn from the Word of God that we are all conceived and born sinful and are in need of forgiveness. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But God the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son Jesus, who atoned for the sin of the whole world. And whoever believes in Him and is baptized shall be saved. Receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one that Jesus died for. Our Lord commanded baptism as He said this. people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples said and rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me first, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." It is your task as parents and as a sponsor that you hold up this child in her prayers. And after this child has been baptized, to remember her in all your prayers. Remind her that she has been baptized and as much lies in you that you give her counsel and aid, especially should she lose her parents. And that your counsel and aid, especially in the knowledge and true knowledge and worship of God, be taught the Word of God. And that she grows in years, and that you place in her hand the Holy Scriptures and bring her to the house of God, that she may worship here to receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, abiding in her baptismal grace, that she may grow up to lead a godly life. Then I ask, is this what you intend and gladly willing to do? If so, answer, yes, I do. And God enable you to do this. Because this child cannot answer for herself, we shall all together as sponsors and parents faithfully speak on her behalf. So we have communion this morning, so I'm going to ask that you would confess your sins with me. Will you do that? Heavenly Father, we know that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by the things that we have done and left undone. We also know that you said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, we do confess our sins unto you and ask for your forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I announce the grace of God unto you all and the forgiveness of all your sins. The Lord has commanded that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To understand what faith we're baptizing you into, I'm going to ask that you help me with this. And I'm going to ask all of you to respond. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, I do renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And we're going to do the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Who brings this child to be baptized? And how is this child to be named?
Evie Lennox Lindemann.
Evie Lennox Lindemann. If you just hold her above here. Evie Lennox Lindemann, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God, Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rebirth of water and the Spirit. And Evie, may you keep her in her faith all the days of her life until she reaches her heavenly home with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I will tell you that your baptismal certificate got wet on purpose. I do this so that after the water dries on hers, you can show her baptismal certificate, and she'll say, "Mom, why did it get wet?" And you'll say, "It was the day you were baptized. Like, this is for you. And the Lord bless your coming in and going forth from this day on, forever and ever. Amen." Do you remember the day you were baptized? You were baptized too. Yeah. You may return to your seats. All God's people said, yay. Hallelujah. We continue with our second opening song, please.
Let's rise and worship. Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember
Redemption's hill, where your blood will spill for my ransom. Everything I want's held dear. I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross. You were as I, tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen. Everything I want held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to your heart. To your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
At the cross, this is where we found our Savior. And we call it Good Friday for a reason. It's because the day that Jesus died on the cross was a good day for you and me. That's where He forgave us all of our sins. For that, we are really, really grateful. Would you please be seated? What a privilege it is. My name is Pastor Ray Angerman, and I'm one of the assistant pastors here at Hope on the Beach. It's been my privilege to serve you this morning. I want you to know that our brother Steve Simon named this sermon, and who let the dogs out? Do you know what that song's about? Well, yeah, what happened was there were a bunch of guys that were calling women's names, and then when the guys came to the place, the women called them dogs, you know. And I can understand why he picked this title of the sermon, because in this gospel reading, you hear Jesus use the word dogs, and we'll get to that in a minute. This is such a great story that Matthew, not only did Mark record this, but Matthew recorded this in his gospel because he thought it was that important. And so Mark left out some of the details that you'll hear from Matthew this morning. So I want to jump right into the text and give you the first verse. Mark 7:24 says, "And there Jesus, he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon." So Jesus is in Galilee, that means in Israel, and he heads 20 to 30 miles northwest into the Gentile region of Tyre and Sidon. It wasn't just Gentile territory, it was really like the armpit of the Gentile territory, where all the bad stuff happened, like Las Vegas or something. No Jew would travel there. that Jesus shows up there, and exactly why he came, we're not sure, but it says, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. So Jesus wanted to keep it a secret of why he was there. And I can understand that. You know, Debbie and I sometimes, it's been a long, decade before, last time we went on a cruise. And being a pastor, when you go on a cruise and you sit at a table with a bunch of people, what is one of the first things they ask? What do you do for a living? As soon as you say pastor, they go, oops, I'm sorry about my language. Is it okay if we drink wine at the table? You know, and so we made this deal. I told her, we're not going to lie, but we'll just, when we get to the table, because people ask me, I've been asked to do a wedding, devotions, people start confessing their sins, you know, and you're there to vacation, right? Let's have a good time. Not that I don't want to witness, but I want to get away. And so Debbie and I made this deal. So when people ask you on a cruise ship, Pastor Ray, what you do for a living, I'll say, I bury people. And they don't talk to you after that. They don't care. I do bury people, you know. That's all I say. They think you're an undertaker or something, you know. So, but Jesus, he wanted to keep his whereabouts a secret. We're not told why. Maybe he wanted rest and relaxation, like I do sometimes when I get away. Maybe he wanted to focus on his disciples and have a retreat. Matthew tells us that his disciples were with him. Maybe he felt the pressure from the Romans and the Jews, and they were fixing to crucify him, and he said, hold it, it's not time yet, and I got some other things I need to do. So he was kind of getting away, getting out of the limelight. Or maybe he just wanted to teach his disciples a lesson. Maybe all the above. But it seems clear that he wanted to keep a low profile, but he couldn't be hidden. He couldn't be hidden. It's kind of like if the president showed up on the beach. Yeah, how do you hide that? And so here is Jesus with his disciples. And let's read on in the main story of this text. Immediately, a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She answered him, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. It's a simple plot. There's a little dialogue. There's a miracle. A person is healed. A demon is cast out and the woman goes on her way. In the end. You wish my sermon was that short, don't you? Okay. What can we learn from this? What are we to take away from this? Well, number one, the story happens while Jesus is at a private home. This woman barges in. She had no business being there. She didn't belong. The customs and the culture and the traditions of the day meant that she was not invited into this home. It would have been offensive. Matthew tells us the disciples were really upset. They were annoyed because she was just constantly crying. And the woman had a spiritually sick child who was possessed by demons, so she was frantic. I can't imagine what that was like. It was chaos at her house. And she probably had someone stay with her daughter so her daughter didn't kill herself. If you remember the story, after the disciples came down off the mountain of transfiguration, this man said, my son who is possessed by a demon keeps throwing himself in the fire. So this woman probably had to get someone to stay with her daughter as she went to find Jesus. She probably went to other exorcists or counselors who said, there's nothing we can do. And so she was just ecstatic. This is her once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Jesus is in town. Determined to get help, this nameless woman, she finds Jesus. To everyone's surprise, she asks Jesus, please cast this demon out of my daughter. And Jesus says, let the children be fed first. For it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And I bet the disciples, who are so pro-Jewish and anti-Gentile, were probably going, "You tell her, Jesus. You told her off, didn't you? Now get out of here, woman." And what Jesus was doing probably was echoing their thoughts to this woman. He's pretty sly. Jesus set him up. Why didn't Jesus just heal this woman's daughter at her request? Well, because he wanted this woman to, one, share her faith, and two, the disciples to learn something from her sharing her faith. So Jesus throws this out there, and he's waiting for this woman's response. And you got to remember that this is a parable. In parables, sometimes use different words. For example, he calls the Jews children, and he refers to this woman's request as throwing bread to the dogs. He's not calling her a dog. He's calling her request something of a throwing crumbs to a dog. And uses the Greek word kunaio, which means dog, a little dog, like a pet dog that you would have at your house. And it would have been fed scraps and leftovers from the table. In other words, Jesus is saying to her, my obligation is first to the Jews, and it's not right to feed others before I feed the children of Israel. And he waits for her response. Now, some commentators said that he said this to strengthen her faith. I believe he said this to show off her faith to his disciples. Think about this. When Jesus told parables, the disciples didn't have a clue what he was talking about, and he would always have to explain it to them. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, when he told them parables, they perceived he was talking about them, but they had no clue what he was saying when he was talking about them in a parable. So how are we to understand? Jesus knew that this woman would understand what he was talking about because he saw her faith. What did she call him? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And when Jesus says, let the children be fed first, he's affirming the privilege of Israel. They were the ones waiting on the Messiah. They're the ones in the Old Testament that were promised the Messiah. So they would be told first. And if there's a first, there's always a second. So it wasn't like the Gentiles were forgotten. It was just that the Jews were first. And this woman understood this. Luke would write later, before Jesus ascended into heaven, Acts 1:8 says, he said to his disciples, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, which includes everyone. And the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. So this woman who has faith in Jesus says, okay, you said first to the Jews? That means I'll be next. How about we speed up the process, Jesus? I want my daughter to be healed now. I can't wait. And so Jesus, remember, is waiting for her response, and she actually finishes the parable when she says, yes, Lord. Even the dogs under the table to eat the children's crumbs. Well said. She doesn't argue with Jesus. She doesn't deny. She doesn't say, well, why are the Jews have to be first? She understands and agrees with the parable and its implications, and she says, yes, Lord. What a contrast. What can we learn from this? Number one, in your bulletin, the woman was seeking deliverance for her daughter. And the key word in the whole sentence is the word seeking. Our memory verse is from Jeremiah 29. Y'all have that? Is it up on the screen? Can you put that up? Here you go. Will you say this with me? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Both the Old and New Testament say that seeking means setting the mind and the heart on things of above. That we focus our mind's attention and our heart's affection on God. We seek Him through prayer, we seek Him through Bible study, and we seek Him in following what he does. That means when we go witnessing, we don't go by ourselves, we go with him. Okay? It's team effort. He doesn't send us out alone. And so when the phrase with all your heart means we're dedicated sincerely to him, that God is with us. If God is with us, the problem isn't that God is not with us. The problem is our perception of his presence. Let me say that again. God is with us. He said he would be. Where two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's here this morning. Do you perceive him? Jesus said, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. That's a promise that Jesus makes. And when he uses these verbs, ask, seek, and knock, those are active words that we are a part of this process of prayer. That we have an active role in our relationship with God. And God will answer according to what's best for us. And sometimes we get frustrated that maybe God's not hearing us, but he's always hearing you and answering your prayers. I've said this before. It's worth saying again, okay? When we wait for God's answer to prayer, it's like waiting at a traffic light. You get a green light, and God says, yes, go. Sometimes he says no, and you sit at the red light. Sometimes he says, proceed with caution, slow down. You get a yellow light. Sometimes he says, have something better for you, and you get an arrow, left or right. When Jesus hears this woman's faithful reply, he exclaims, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home, and she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. What a blessing. And what I might add, what a refreshing moment for Jesus, because he has been battling the scribes and the Pharisees. He's been trying to get through to his disciples. And all of a sudden, this Gentile woman understands exactly what's going on. And she, in essence, says, whatever you say, Jesus, it's enough for me. Just give me a crumb. I'm good with that. When you pray, two things are necessary. One, that you believe in God, that there is a God. Number two, you believe that God will answer your prayer, and he hears you. And that's what this woman did. She believed Jesus was who he was. She called him Lord, and she believed that he could answer her prayer. And we show our faith how we approach Jesus in our prayers, and then how we live out those prayers in our lives. Number two, the woman was humble in her supplication. Supplication means asking for something humbly. The great obstacle to seeking the Lord is our pride. Isn't that true, guys? Yeah, ask your wife. No, I'm not going to do that. I'll figure it out on my own. Yeah, when we seek the Lord, the biggest obstacle is our pride, because we think we know it all. That came from the Garden of Eden, remember? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the middle letter of the word pride is I. So here we have, when we pray, the biggest obstacle is pride. This woman said, I'm not afraid to beg. In fact, the Bible says she was just laying on the floor when she approached Jesus. Psalms 10 says this, the arrogance of the wicked one keeps him from seeking the true God. The arrogance of the wicked one keeps him from seeking the true God. He truly thinks there is no God. And James 4 says this, we have a slide for this. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And James 4 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. The Bible always consistently says that we should come to the Lord humbly. One of the most quoted verses in Congress, and I hear this from people who are concerned about the United States, is from 2 Chronicles 7:14. Do you recognize that? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And that's what we want. With this lady, she shows up and she's humble and says, be merciful to me, a sinner. So why is humility important? because humility is important, because we approach God who's powerful. We acknowledge him as being powerful, majestic, all-knowing, holy, and we recognize his holiness and our weakness as we approach him. Number three, the woman was persistent until she received satisfaction. Romans 12 says this, "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." That means to not bow, particularly if you're driving. You don't have to bow your head and close your eyes when you're driving, but you can be constantly in prayer. God, help me get through this traffic, okay? And that means you're aware of God's presence. That's what prayer is, being aware of God's presence and talking to him. There's no doubt that this woman risked all to come before Jesus. She exhausted all her human possibilities. She realizes that Jesus isn't just the next possibility. He is the only possibility. And we need to view God like that also. You know, so often, sadly enough, I hear people say this, "Well, I guess the only thing we can do now is pray." I just cringe. We should have started there. We should have started there with prayer. That should have been our first option. I have no doubt that she was not leaving Jesus until she got an answer to her prayer. "I'm not leaving. This is my only option." And I remember, you've seen this before, there was a bumper sticker years ago. It said push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. You ever seen that bumper sticker? I think it's a description of prayer. It's not complete, but it's very descriptive. Because Jesus told a parable to his disciples about a persistent widow and an unjust judge. Remember that one? This widow went before this judge and he ignored her. But she kept coming back, and because of her persistence, the judge grants her request. In fact, Luke, who shared this parable in Luke 18, said, "Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Persistence in prayer. And in this morning's reading from Mark, Jesus does more than tell his disciples in a parable. He demonstrates it with this woman. So I want to close by reminding you of three things, A, B, and C. They're going to come quick, so get ready. God wants us to ask. We've heard that this morning. B, he wants us to recognize his provision. God's going to provide. It may not be the way you want it, but he will answer your prayer. C, Jesus is open to all and true to his mission. Jesus is open to all. That means there's no one excluded from the kingdom of God. What a day this was for this woman. This could be your day too. I don't know where you're at. I talk to people every day and they have bad days. And they experience struggles and they're lonely and they pray for their family and they don't know what else to do. Maybe you've got children, grandchildren. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter that has gone off, straight off, and you pray for them. We learned this morning that God answers prayer. We learned this morning, never give up praying. Grandparents, I just can't tell you how important your prayers are for your grandkids. Powerful. God hears your prayer. He answers prayer. Never give up. Be persistent. This woman was willing to put her faith into action, and she traveled a distance to see Jesus. She knew Jesus could help her. As I said before, you know, Jesus is here this morning. We're two or three gathered. This room should be full. Should be standing room only. I got to get to church. Jesus is there. Never, ever say, I'm just going to skip church today. Never, ever say that. Because Jesus is here. He wants to meet with you. And this morning, he wants to meet with you not only in his word, but in his body and blood and the sacrament of Holy Communion. Do you believe what you believe is really real? Then your faith will be put into action. Faith resulting in action is the only kind of faith that's real. If your faith does not lead you to act, you're fooling yourself. We claim to have faith, but without action, faith is not faith at all. It may be a sentimentalism, but it's not faith. True biblical faith leads to action. That's why James wrote, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith is more than just believing there is a God. Faith is believing that what we believe determines our destiny, where we're going when we die. It's living out our lives, acting on in purpose, filling out our purpose in this world. That's what faith does. It gives you a purpose. Faith tells you that these things were written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. That's why the Bible was written. So live each day to the fullest in light of eternity. Because you never know when you're going to go to heaven. So make every day count. Give your failures to God's mercy. Give your successes to His glory. Live each day to the fullest, knowing that if something happens to you today, it's God's will, He took you to heaven. I have no regrets. If we put our faith in action, we will not only put it for ourselves, but for our children, just like you saw this morning in baptism. The Canaanite woman says, put your faith in Jesus. When I read this text, I wish that I had a video camera, because this steely-eyed woman, who's even though she's crying, she's focused on Jesus. I don't care what the disciples are saying. I don't care what the host is saying. You're in my house. Get out of here. I'm focused in on Jesus. Nothing was going to deter her. Nothing was going to deter her. Is that you? You focused in on Jesus? Can you imagine Jesus' face? When she walks in and he sees her faith, he goes, oh, this is going to be good. Watch these disciples. Hey, you dog. And the disciples are going, yeah, I'll call that lady a dog. And he goes, no, that's not what we're getting into. We're getting white. Listen to this, disciples. She's going to call me Lord. And she's going to ask for scraps. And I'm going to heal her daughter. Jesus must have been grinning from ear to ear when all this was going on. I wish the smile on Jesus' face, the joy that he had, that this woman had faith in him. Her public confession of faith in spite of her problems and difficulties allows Jesus to demonstrate what faith in him can do. Your public confession of faith in spite of your problems, in spite of your difficulties, allows Jesus to demonstrate what faith in him can do. That's what he wants for us today. So I invite you, take a step of faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. And I want to end with this. She's not even mentioned but a couple of times in this, and we don't even know how old she was. The little daughter who was possessed by a demon. One moment she's enslaved, has no control over her body, no control over her actions. She's probably being slammed to the door, slammed on the floor, and probably yelling and screaming and foaming at the mouth. Unfocused. And then all of a sudden the spirit demon leaves her and she's free. One moment she's virtually dead. Next moment she's alive. One moment she's unable to find rest and peace. The next moment she is at the peace of the Lord that passes all human understanding. And the next moment mama walks in. What a sweet moment that is. Mom hugs her child for the first time. And she knows that it was Jesus that did this. One day, I look forward to this day. When we go to heaven, it's going to be just like that. All the bad stuff in our lives are going to go away. All the bad stuff, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Only joy in the presence of Jesus. A place Jesus calls paradise. What a sweet homecoming it will be for those who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And for that we say, amen. You pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for our faith in you. Forgive us for those times when we walk by our own power and not by having faith in you according to your word. May your Holy Spirit permeate our lives today, that we leave here changed, that we leave here empowered by you to go shine the light in the dark world in which we live. Thank you for your many, many blessings. We ask that you bless our families that are not here with us today, especially those who have no faith in you. And we pray for them, Lord, that you will bring them to yourself and call them to yourself by your word and spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who has further taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
So giving isn't about giving God money. He doesn't really need it. He's the one that gives it to us in the first place because all good things come from him. God deserves the first place in our hearts, and that's what this is about. And by giving, we're actively prioritizing God above everything else in our lives. So let's just remember our giving is an act of worship, and it's a tangible expression of our love and our devotion to God to align our hearts with his. Inside of your worship folder, you have an offering envelope. If you'd like to give today, you can place your offering in here. There are several ways to give outlined in your folder, including our text to give number and also online at hopeonthebeach.com so that you can choose the best way. And if you take a look at the back of your worship folder, you're going to see all of our hope happenings, all the events and things that we have coming up this month. And this is really about helping you to grow and connect. And we do that by coming together with our Christian family who's going to give you love and support. And the Bible tells us we can't grow in Christ in our personal relationship if we don't grow together as a family. So we need one another. And we have our youth groups on Wednesday. And this is a special one because there's going to be a pool party at the Sheelers. So also our ladies are going to have a pool party on Saturday from 2 to 5 also at the Sheelers home. Ladies, we hope you will join us for that. Just a reminder that after service today, we do have a voters meeting here. And at this time, if you would like to take your offering envelope and your connection card that you filled out, you can put them in the plates on your respective side. We're going to continue worshiping.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Yeah. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I've got a gift for you. It's the Lord's body and blood in the holy sacrament of